Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dogs with Jobs. I'm Kate Fairweather. It's wonderful to have you with me. And in return, I have the most wonderful interview for you this week. It's incredibly unusual. My profile this week is Ninja, a very talented border collie who is doing something that not many dogs do. It's incredibly unusual. I spoke to his handler, Dominic Arend, just outside the arena at Goodwoof, which is the amusingly named a fabulous dog event that takes place down in the Goodwood Estate. I've been for the last few years. It gets bigger and grander every year, and there are always some fascinating working dogs there too, which was of course my focus. I wasn't until I was speaking to Dominic that I realised I've seen lots of videos and I follow him on Instagram. So that was a really nice surprise. And of course, in the flesh, like so many Europeans, Dominic's English is fantastic. He was so eloquent on the kind of spirit of parkour and barkour, because it's not a sport. It's not a competitive thing. It's reminded me almost of talking to someone who surfs and lives to follow waves. There's a kind of expression, self-expression aspect to it. There's obviously loads of athleticism and training involved, but nothing like traditional dog training. So let's hear Dominic explaining what it is.
It is pretty much parkour with a dog. So we are around urban structures in big cities and just try to find challenges wherever we can. Walls, fences, you know, whatever comes in our way, we try to make something out of it.
Okay. And this comes, for anyone who didn't know what parkour was, this comes from the urban sport, should we call it?
It's like it's coming from Paris, actually, and then, like, how do you say, in neighborhoods of Paris?
Yes, the bonjour, maybe.
Yes, someone came to the idea to actually just pretty much do gymnastics in, like, the urban structure. So, I mean, you have may seen it in movies when people jump from roof to roof. I mean, we don't do this all the time, but that's a picture of it, at least.
Okay, but I know you do this, but what? Tell us about Ninja. Now, yes. Ninja looks like a collie.
Ninja is a border collie, exactly 6 years old. I got him when he was very young. And he lives a full-on travel lifestyle, so we're traveling around Europe at the moment and exploring new cities to find new challenges.
And this is his job, isn't it? He's basically an urban athlete.
Yes,
can
by now.
Can we call him that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's his personal job, and since 2 years, it's our professional job too. But I mean, with personal job too, I think every dog, if you earn money or not, should have like a kind of a job to do at home to get happy.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a second, mm-hmm. But tell me first, when did you get Ninja? How did you get together? Tell me about the relationship.
I got him on eBay. I know many people probably don't want to hear that, but I was a young student, you know, not really a lot of money. And yeah, I got there, I saw him, and he jumped up and he wanted to cuddle. And, you know, jumping, cuddling dog was just kind of the connection I needed. So I took him with me, and since then, yeah, we pretty much started our travel lifestyle. So his first day, he had to take every public transportation, car, bus. There was like a heavy storm, you know. Yeah. It was just like kind of a good introduction to his lifestyle, I would say.
And how old was he at that point when you
8 weeks.
Him? Oh, wow. So you've been together right from the beginning.
Yes, I think it was very important because I brought him from the countryside to the city and he had to adapt and socialize as much as possible. And as younger you are, as easier it is for you to adapt to a new environment.
So as you say, right from 8 weeks,
yes.
He was into public transport and trains.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Everything in the urban environment.
Yes, traveling 7 hours to Cologne and train and, like, you know, being outside all day long. I had a little bag to carry him around because, yeah. Of course, at one point he will be tired. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that I have to limit myself and to go home. I didn't want to educate him into when he's tired, we go home, you know.
And was he your first dog?
Yes, he is my first dog.
So you've come a long way with him then.
Kind of. But, you know, maybe because it is my first dog, it was easier than because I didn't have a strict picture of what a dog has to look like. I was just teaching parkour to kids, actually. That was my profession before. And he just had to adapt to this lifestyle. And somehow parkour lessons were the right lessons for him.
Amazing. Because, of course, as jobs go, mm-hmm. teaching parkour is a pretty cool job and not something that huge numbers of people do. And likewise, Ninja is doing something very unusual in the dog world as well, in terms of jobs.
Yes, I think I would say it's pretty new. I mean, it's growing rapidly at the moment. So the hashtag Barker like grew from like 3 to 4 times mentioned to 17,000 on Instagram in the last years. So I hope that we actually created kind of a new way for people to see their urban environment as possibility for their dogs instead of keeping them not enough stimulated.
You see, that's something I find very interesting, because one of the things that we see again and again on Dogs with Jobs, the show, is the number of really successful working dogs who have been rescues because as pets, they haven't been stimulated enough, they haven't had enough to do, and it hasn't worked out. Now, looking at you and Ninja, I haven't seen Ninja on a lead. Is he ever on a lead?
If I have to, in train stations or somewhere, but like the last 5 months, 99% he was off leash. And he actually works better than on a leash, because he cannot shut down his head. He has to be there. He has to think and to work.
Yes. And I guess collies are super bright, so the intelligence is there as well.
But you know, there are so many intelligent dog breeds. I would more say, because people say the border collie is so smart, they get educated to be a smart dog. But let's say, let's take a Labrador. People think Labrador never stops eating, right?
Yeah.
So if a Labrador starts
eating endless...
Yeah, that is the stereotype. It is a stereotype, but because it's a stereotype, you make your Labrador to a stereotype, because you will never really question if there's maybe a nutritional deficit that makes him eat so much, you know? I think there's always a reason, but because, yeah, people think he eats much, he will become a dog who eats much, and the same with smart dogs. Like, Chihuahua is super smart, poodles are super smart, like, Belgian Shepherds are super smart, you know, like, there are so many smart dog breeds. Actually, the person who did parkour with a dog before, who started it all, our best friend, he trained a pug in parkour, and the pug was 100% off leash. You have never seen such a good behaving dog like a pug. Now, it's a question if it is intelligence or just learned behavior, but like 100% unleashed pug, you know, he was just like king of the streets, to be fair, I can say.
So tell me about your relationship. Do you go everywhere together? You look very... I should set some context here. We're talking at Goodwoof. You've done a demonstration in the ring, in the arena, and it's like you're one organism.
You
are very fluid as a pair.
Thank you.
How does it work, the relationship? He comes everywhere with you.
Yeah, we spend pretty much all... So in the last year, he was around 4 days all total without me.
Wow.
This comes with ups and downs, because he cannot really stay alone home and shut down. He will not bark everything, but he won't sleep.
Okay.
But of course, if you spend so much time together, and I talk to him normally, I don't try to just talk to him in comments, but to see him as equal.
Yeah.
And he is staying for me above every human I know. And if you have this kind of connection and talk every time, and you travel and you have difficulties while traveling, challenges, you just grow together. Like, my biggest advice for people when they get a new dog is to go out of your own comfort zone. Do something you have not done for a while. Because if you prove your dog that you can lead through a situation that makes you uncomfortable and the dog will know, then the dog will build up true trust.
Okay. And Ninja's looking very confident in the ring. Talk to me about the training. How did you build him up with doing... Well, explain what he does.
I mean, today, you know, we used mostly humans as obstacles and like two boxes. So there was just a lot of jumping against the chest and against the back. But again, pretty much... You can imagine, give us a chair and we will try to find challenges for my dog to do it. Go beneath, jump on the chair. Can he jump like from the chair on my body, from my body on the chair? And you know, we try to get everything out of the environment to challenge him. And if you do
but
that...
But there's a creativity to that, isn't there? I'm
of
assuming
course.
That you'll have certain commands for maybe jumping off you, or do you work with set commands, or how does that work?
Of course, we have certain commands, if you want to call it commands, but if I talk to the parkour guys who performed with us, we talk in certain vocabulary too, because it makes more sense. And with those vocabulary, to be fair, I have so many different ones that I think I can create nearly everything. Sometimes it takes longer, like, you know, 10 minutes to do a challenge, but most of the time if we go around, like if we come here, if we go around the street, we take like 2 or 3 minutes to complete something that we see.
Okay. And if you were thinking about Ninja's working as a parkour dog, I don't know what to call it, Ninja parkour dog.
Yeah, parkour dog, a parkour dog, however, like
Have you, what would you say has been a highlight in terms of his achievements and boundaries and, you know?
I mean, we take part every year in a German TV show. It's called Top Dog Germany. And you as a handler have to perform together with your dog. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of an obstacle race with different challenges. But it's not just parkour. It's like, you know, sometimes they have to lick, then they have to carry something into a hole. It's actually really difficult at some stages. Setien? And we competed against all kind of world champions in dog sports, and we won last year. And the first 2 years, we always did the second place, and this year, the fifth place again. So this is a personal sign that all those lessons and not treating him like the traditional dog was leading him to be a very intelligent dog where you can adapt in situations really quick. And that makes me personally proud, and I think this is the biggest highlight.
And when it comes to training a dog, he's your first dog.
Yeah.
There are millions of trainers and books and theories and all of that. It sounds like you've had the confidence to just go with your professional occupation and bring him into it as a canine companion, if you like.
You know, if you do parkour, you learn that society has a lot of rules that don't necessarily make sense. No, I don't say that... that doesn't make sense to put them in, but for you personally, sometimes it makes sense to just break those rules. And I thought the same concept is probably with dogs. We have so many things where we think it has to be like that, so many training ways, that we may don't overthink it, you know. And very old school, very like traditional ways how to treat a dog, which comes more to, if you make him smaller than he is, you know, like a lot of dogs are dominating their dog instead of trying to educate them.
That's an interesting distinction, actually, because you're right, it's a preset bunch of rules about how we want dogs to behave.
Let me maybe explain this this example. So imagine we would train dogs like we train children, we educate children, right? We don't even call it training. So if the dog would get like 6 hours of education every day, like you, they would probably all be super insane, really cool. But now take the other example. What if we would treat our children like we treat our dogs? Like, you know, leading them on a leash their whole life. They will probably be very, very depending on us humans and not be able to think for themselves.
You see, that's something that we've been exploring a bit on the show recently, the distinction between training a dog to do exactly what it's told, say in a service or police context, where in a way the expectations of the dog are just like the expectations of the handler.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
You have to do certain things. If you're in the fire service or the police, there's no room for creative interpretation. Whereas recently I've had quite a lot of conservation dogs who... and the handlers prize the independence of thought.
What is conservation?
Conservation, looking after the environment. So things like using detection dogs, so detection disciplines generally, to identify, I don't know, bat droppings at wind farms or
that's
to find invasive animals or plants.
I never heard of this, but it's amazing that's existing.
So let me ask one last question then.
Yeah.
What you're doing, and parkour in its origins, is kind of, as you say, slightly outside society, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's using urban infrastructure in a way that was not envisaged by the designers. How do you feel now that you're finding this success? You're pretty well known. Like when I didn't realise until I came backstage at Goodworth that you're the person that I've been following on Instagram. You're kind of becoming part of the big dog sort of society now, aren't you? And actually demonstrating. So last thing is that when we were chatting earlier, you mentioned that, you know, dogs are almost seen as babies or children by lots of people who've come to dog ownership perhaps recently, perhaps through COVID, perhaps finding dogs a great comfort. What would you say about dogs and jobs? Do they need them? Are they better with them?
I think, like we humans too, if we don't have a certain aim in life, we will get unhappy. We are just a little bit lost in life. And in my experience, whenever I did jobs with him that were quite challenging, you know, like, or jumps that were not so easy, that were the times that he was most happy afterwards, when he succeeded, you know, and when he slept the best at night. So, you know, I have no idea what a perfect dog life should look like, but I'm pretty sure it's not treating him like my child and just carrying him around. He wants to experience life.
And there's no doubt that Ninja's looking one of the most confident and relaxed and happy dogs that I've seen in a while. So, congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
What an absolute joy, and how incredibly unusual. I couldn't really believe it. I've kind of followed them on Instagram for ages, because it is admittedly a very visual discipline, but that's why it was so lovely to get such an eloquent and articulate interview from Dominic, who gave, I think, a flavour of the spirit and the vibe of parkour, because it's not a sport as such, because it's not really competitive. It's very athletic, but it's also artistic, and there's a lifestyle aspect and dynamic to it. It reminded me a little bit of talking to a surfer. You know, there's a different world. It's definitely not like the 9-to-5 that so many of us have in our working lives. So a real joy, I thought, and thank you very much to Dominic for finding time to have a little chat when we met. It was a real joy and privilege to meet such a well-adjusted, clever, and frankly fulfilled dog. He was they just look great together. It was a really lovely thing to see. So if you're enjoying Dogs with Jobs, please do give us a review, a rating, it all helps, and drop us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. You can find all kinds of working dogs, because we've got nearly 60 episodes now. I've started organising them a little bit on the website and in the show notes, but have a browse. There's a lot of diversity there, and all of them, I think, have charms of their own and hopefully interesting new information contained within each one. As always, if you work your dog or dogs, or you know someone else who does, and it does not have to be traditional in a working dog sense, they don't have to be herding sheep or any of the traditional working dogs, as you can tell from this interview in itself, I love hearing from you. So do get in touch. It's team@shineradio.uk. I love to hear from you, and I'm always looking for interesting dogs doing interesting jobs. Have a great couple of weeks. I will be back mid-month with yet another fascinating interview recorded at Goodwood. So it was indeed a very good day, and we'll be living off it for another couple of episodes yet. Dogs with Jobs, presented by Kate Fairweather and produced with John Wellsman.
This is Shine Radio. Made in Petersfield by
Gareth,
Claire,
Geoff,
Beth,
and you.
To join us, email team@shineradio.uk or call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500.
Join our team and make it shine at the radio station made by you.
You make it shine, Shine Radio.